Lately, it seems like you can't go a few days without hearing about a shooting or a violent crime. And because everyone has a camera in their phone or there's body cam footage, we see or hear a lot of this. And they warn you it's graphic, but we usually watch it or listen to it. And it's shocking or upsetting. It's even a little numbing, certainly hard to forget. Even if it's hundreds of miles away, even if you don't know the people involved, it can get to you. Now, imagine you were directly involved.
362 East Woodlake Cove, 4055 South. Message her and her husband were in a verbal argument. He then left in his vehicle but has returned home now. It's that he is intoxicated.
That's a night I'll never forget. It's July 25th. You know, the shots fired call probably came out at like 9:30 or 10.
That 911 phone call, that's often the first point of contact. This is usually where the story really begins to take off. But here's the thing. That call was answered by a real human being. Someone trying to make sense of what it is that's unfolding there on the other end of the line.
To me, it sounded like they were screaming, shots fired. It sounded to me like they had screamed as loud as they could into the microphone, shots fired.
This is More to Say. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Recently, KUER's Eric Newman did a story where he tried to find out what effect those few intense moments can have on the dispatchers who first take that call. Eric's joining us, and Eric, welcome.
Thanks.
So start with the idea. What was the idea when you first started thinking about this piece?
This came out of a class, kind of, that another KUER reporter, Whitney Evans, and I did. It's called the Citizens Police Academy.
Right. It's
basically a police outreach program that the Unified Police Department of Salt Lake City does. And one of the things that we did was we got to spend an evening at the Salt Lake Unified Police Dispatch Center.
Yeah.
So we were just hanging out with all these dispatchers while they were reacting to calls that were coming in about crimes. And one of the things that their manager told us was she kind of just described the mental stress that these people have to absorb on a daily basis, where they're getting hundreds of these calls, and some of them are nothing and some of them are really intense and scary things. What these people deal with on a daily basis is crazy. So they were gracious enough to let me come in and interview a bunch of people there.
So you found someone, Miles Smith. Tell us about Miles Smith.
So Miles he works at the dispatch center. He's kind of newish, but he's not totally new. And he described a particularly traumatizing event where it was his first 2 weeks on the job, and he got thrown into this call where there was a guy who was threatening to kill himself, who was drunk, who had loaded weapons in his house, and he was essentially the intermediary that was having to figure out how to talk this guy down between this potential shooter and these police officers in this extremely crazy situation.
Take us through what was going on.
It was a summer evening, I think it was in July, and Miles was working the phones. He got a call. A woman who said that her husband was drunk and had two loaded weapons in their apartment, and he was threatening to kill himself.
His name's going to be Nick Lima.
He was a military veteran.
6 Alpha, that's firm. I'm in route.
He was afraid that his wife was going to leave him.
I'm on the phone with him. He's advising you will not step out of the apartment.
Officers started showing up. He was pretty combative. So Miles is trying to talk this guy down and just try to be reassuring and non-threatening. And this gentleman comes out onto the porch where there's multiple officers now.
6 Alpha, shots been fired. Stand by.
And this guy had a shotgun, and allegedly he waved it at the officers. And so
6 Alpha, suspect is down. All officers are okay. We're going to make entry into the apartment.
There was nothing Miles could do. The officer shot him and killed him.
A lot of the times you think about a dispatcher as just the person who's going to relay the address of the place to the police officers and then be done with it. But it's more than that. And oftentimes they're talking with people involved, sometimes the people who are directly involved. So what did Miles figure then, and what does he think his role is as a dispatcher? Did he say?
Yeah, I mean, he really was the intermediary in this situation. So he was talking, so it kind of sounds like he's filtering the conversation between the police and the victim. So it almost is like he's got the victim talking in one ear and he's got the police talking in the other ear.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the common way that things are done.
But how it played out that night.
Yeah, he was really managing the situation and trying to, in his mind, he was trying to save this guy.
Yeah,
basically, that's kind of what came out through our interview, and that's what really stuck with him and made his reaction so visceral and so powerful. Where he kind of broke down after it happened and started crying and just kind of lost control. And probably a lot of that is because it was his first 2 weeks on the job. But as the professor from the University of Utah who studies this kind of thing, named Craig Bryan, who told me he took a lot of responsibility for that moment, and he felt like he failed.
I was like, oh, I gotta stay tough, you know. Nobody's gonna break down and cry over this. This is everyday life. This is what I signed up for. So I tried to hold it together, and then another dispatcher, she asked me, she's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. She's like, no, you're not. She's like, have somebody key you up, take the radio, and we're going to go step outside and talk. I'm sitting there and I'm just crying. And I feel so guilty because I'm like, I could have convinced him to put the guns down and everybody be okay. You know, I could have been the hero of this story and, you know, somebody give me a pat on the back and say, you're great at this job, we're happy to have you, kind of a thing.
He went and decompressed with the police department. They took him to the scene. They walked him through everything that could have happened, sort of to reassure him that he did the right thing.
Yeah.
But
he felt responsible.
He felt responsible, and I think that's what stuck with him and the other dispatchers that I talked to who'd been there for 20 years. They kind of all had a situation like this that they just stuck in their mind.
Do they all feel that way? Dispatchers take a kind of ownership with some of those moments where they feel like, I can make a difference, and if it goes badly, they feel badly?
I think it varies, and I talked to three different dispatchers. One who was brand new, who made it sound like she wasn't affected by this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think she'd worked there for 2 months or something like that. Miles, who'd been there for a couple of years. And then another dispatcher who'd been there for 20 or 22 years. And I think she had the benefit of hindsight of saying, I have these stories, but I also know how to kind of put them in a box, and I can walk out of here and I leave them here. And she had a lot of different things that she said where she completely checks out when she's not at work, and she watches dumb movies, and she cooks food, and she does everything to remove that part of her life from her existence. And I think that's kind of interesting. I'm not a psychologist, but I think it's an interesting way of kind of compartmentalizing stressful situations in life.
Do they have support? Do they have on a regular basis? I mean, obviously for Miles, these officers reached out to him, and it sounds so kind and loving the way they worked with him. But is that a normal thing?
I was told that that was kind of above average what the Salt Lake Unified Police Department has. Like, they have therapists who are available to be called at any time if something crazy like this happens and somebody's having a really hard time. But even the dispatchers said that when they go and they talk to these therapists, the therapists don't really get it. They don't really fully understand what these people are going through. And so because of that, it's more important to talk to their coworkers because they're there every day doing the same thing. So it really is kind of a family. And that was also kind of what this professor at the university mentioned, whether we're talking about soldiers or police officers or dispatchers. It really takes that bond of other people who really understand what you're going through to give you the right kind of support.
I wanted to ask you about something that you and I talked about with the piece, and it was something that gave you pause and maybe complicated this particular one, but I think is an interesting dynamic, and that is the fact that, as you sort of mentioned earlier, the man on the other end of the line was a veteran. How did that make you think about this story differently, and how do you think it complicated the story for you?
I think before I heard that, I had the different characters in this thing falling into sort of the stereotypes of like, this is somebody who's unstable and we can kind of write them off a little bit. And then hearing that it was a veteran who was going through his own stress and trauma in the same way that Miles was experiencing the same thing, really, I think you said it is kind of a weird mirror into this experience. I can only imagine in the moment how you negotiate those things.
It really makes you think about, I think, this story, the people who are close to an intense or tragic event, just what the costs are. You see the stories of the first responders. You see the stories of the victims. But there in the background is a dispatcher who's also affected. That hadn't occurred to me, I have to say.
Yeah, and they really kind of bristle at that notion. Like they, multiple people that I talked to said, like, people think we're secretaries. People think we just answer calls. And I mean, it's not to say that they're necessarily having the same experience as cops who might have had to pull the trigger in that situation. Yeah. That's a whole different thing. But it is a valid experience, and I think that was shown by the response. There was a lot of dispatchers who, come to find out, were sharing the story on Facebook and talking about their own experiences. People just saying they'd gone through all the same stuff and had the same kind of like mental scars. And I think it was just a community that doesn't really get the recognition that it's due.
Eric Newman, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
More to Say is a production of KUER News. You can find Eric's story in our show notes or at KUER.org. This episode was produced by Tim Slover and Lee Hale with music from Poddington Bear. Our host is Doug Fabrizio. If you want more Doug, you can hear him every weekday on his other show, Radio West. Listen on KUER or find it in your podcast app. And while you're there, rate this show. Tell us what you think. We'd really appreciate it.